Let's go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll get into today's message. As we look towards Thanksgiving should be a time that we give thanks to the Lord for the assurance of our salvation. And this message today is going to continue into the last part of that topic, the assurance of salvation, because that is the sole basis of our faith. If you don't know you're saved, if you don't have the Lord Jesus in your life, you would have no reason to have faith, because he is the author and the finisher of that faith. So let's lift this up in prayer and thank God for the assurance that he's given us of our salvation. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you for this message today. We thank you for being our God and for giving your son so that we could have this relationship with you, so that through accepting your grace and the gift of faith that you've given us, we can have a loving, growing, purposeful relationship with you, Father, and the purpose being to glorify you and pleasing you in all that we do. And in that, we'll be satisfied. Until we get there, we will not be satisfied. And this causes issues in our lives as our faith is shaken because we look at the wrong things. We have faith in the wrong things. We should always just remain in faith of you who is faithful and in the promise of salvation, because that's all we need. All we need is Jesus. And Father, just may we always hang on to him and not be concerned about the circumstances or what's going on around us, but just have the eyes of our heart be focused on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may you open up your word today and speak to us about what this faith is, what it does, and what it is not, Father. And just may we grow more in love with you each and every day through this faith that you've given us, founded on Jesus Christ. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so as I said, this is going to be the last part of a three-part message, hopefully, unless I just give up. But I'm going to do it in faith as well, because the Lord's given me a lot to share about faith. And, you know, and I've heard faith described as, well, you know, faith is like what you do when you sit in a chair. You have faith that it's going to hold you. You don't hope it's going to hold you. You have faith that it will. Well, I used to be 330 pounds. Sometimes I just had hope that it would hold me. And there is a difference between hope and faith. Faith is trusting in what we know. Faith is trusting in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. So it isn't as simple as sitting in a chair. Because you know what? A chair may break, but it isn't going to throw us. The world will throw us. The world will press against us. Our own flesh will deceive us. So faith is very important, and we need to hang on to what the essence of faith is. And we're going to focus on that today, which is Jesus. Jesus being the sole basis of our faith. And we're going to do this, as John says, so that we will know we have eternal life, and so that we will continue to believe. It's not enough just to believe or have had belief. We must continue to believe. That's what salvation is all about. The process of continuing to believe in Jesus Christ and to be conformed into his image through all that salvation brings our way. So today we'll look at faith being the component, the key component in our new nature. And that key component comes with the assurance of salvation being the heart of the matter. That's the heart of the matter. We have assurance in Jesus Christ. And this is what enables us then to allow the conforming work of the Spirit to have his way. And our faith then is totally dependent upon remaining in Jesus Christ. Not on anything that's going on around us. Not on anything that we do other than yielding to the Spirit, yielding to the truth of God, and knowing who we believe in and what we believe in. And that's the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's what the assurance of salvation is. I like to think of faith as an integral part of a supernatural soul train. You guys remember that soul train song? Anybody know that? We'll have to practice that one later, right? But you know, if we look at it in that perspective, we see Jesus as the engine that drives the train of our soul. And we see that faith, love, and hope being the cars that are in front of us. And we're merely the caboose. We're hanging on. We're hanging on to Jesus. We're hanging on to faith in Him. We're hanging on to His love. And we're hanging on to the hope that we have in Him. Why? Because I'm not able to see where we're headed. But I trust in the engine that does. That engine being Jesus Christ. Him knowing where I'm headed. Because He's going to finish my faith. And why do I do that? Because I love Him. And all of my hope is in Him. Not on my evaluation. Not on my skills and abilities. But in His faithfulness. That's what it's all about. That's the soul train. Jesus being the engine. Faith, love, and hope being the cars we're connected to. And us being the caboose. Just trusting in Jesus. And knowing He is faithful. And growing in faith. Growing in love. And having hope that never disappoints, which is Jesus. Amen. So today what we're going to look at is Jesus being the sole basis of our faith, which means He's our sole Lord. Right? He's the Lord of all that we are. If He's not, then He's not the engine. You've taken the caboose and got it head of the engine, headed in the wrong direction. We're going to look at the essence of our faith, what faith is, what faith is not. We're also going to look at what faith does in our life. And by looking at what faith does in our life, we can determine whether we have enough faith or saving faith, or do we need to continue to grow in faith, because we're going to see what it gives us and what it does for us. We're also going to look at the difference between faith and hope and why we can't replace one with the other, because each serves its sole purpose, and that's in our soul as well. Why we become disappointed with God, and why our faith is shaken. And then I'm also going to give you three reasons why our faith must be tested. And finally, we're going to look at a case study of faith, experiencing the dark night of the soul. And I'm going to read the newsletter from Far Reaching Ministries that's been up here for a couple months. And it's called The Dark Night of the Soul, and just about how their faith is tested on a daily basis as they put their life on the line, not for their country, but for God and for what they believe in. And their faith does not disappoint, because their faith is in Jesus Christ. So I'm going to go through that as a case study. So we got a lot to cover today. So let's go ahead and get started. 1 John 5:11 through 13. God's testimony, eternal life, is given only in the Son. And it says, and this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Dear Heavenly Father, may I share this message in the spirit of truth, Father. May it be all about you, done in your spirit, Father. Just may I get out of the way. Just may you just speak to the people that you've brought here today. May their hearts be prepared to hear in faith what you have for us. May you be magnified. May I be minimized. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. So that pretty much says it all about faith. The sole basis of our faith is in the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this is the testimony of God, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son, as it says in verse 11. It can be found in no one else. It can be found in nothing else. It is associated with nothing else. It's all about Jesus from beginning to end. And what He's doing as the way and the truth in our life. What hinders it is us getting in the way and trying to take control again. Us becoming our sole Lord. Us wanting our ambitions and our desires accomplished. And we hope in those instead of the hope we have in Jesus. And when we hope in those things, it's always going to disappoint us. It's going to discourage us. And then what do? We lose faith in God when it wasn't Him that disappointed us. It was our preconceived ideas of what we need, not what was required, not what the promises of God are. The promises of God have entirely to do with salvation and eternal life. He does not promise us a comfortable life in this world. You know, I look at the Jews, when I look at myself, I say, am I that much different from the Jews at the time of Jesus? What did they want? They wanted a king who was going to provide them health, wealth, safety, and prosperity. They wanted him now. They wanted those riches now. They wanted to live comfortably. They wanted to serve God. They wanted that king, but they wanted it on their terms. You know, when we first started the book of John, not First John, the book of John, Jesus asked the followers, what do you want from me? That's what we have to ask ourselves. What do we want from God? Do we want him as a genie in a bottle that we rub by faith and he gives us the desires of our heart? Or do we want what he truly is? To be the God of our life, preparing us for eternity so that we can reign and rule with him for one purpose, to glorify God and to live a life that is pleasing to God. And only then will we find satisfaction in this world and in the next. Anything else is a delusion, a distraction, and a destruction of our faith. Amen? So what do we want from him? He doesn't promise us the world. He promises eternal life and life in him and only in him. And we have to rest in that. And the assurance of salvation, that faith in him, that he's faithful, is how we rest in that. And then whatever the world may bring, we can say, bring it on. Because I have overcome the world in Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's what we wrestle with. That's what gets in the way of our faith. We have hope in the wrong things. We have hope in the things we want instead of what is required and what is truly needed for us. We saw that Jesus came by water, blood, and spirit as the witness, the one true witness, the blessed assurance of our salvation. And as we looked at last week, we saw that he completed all that was necessary. What did he complete? The law, including all things that are righteous, which was being purified, washed, and cleansed as our high priest. The high priest that would give the one atoning sacrifice, that sacrifice of him being the Lamb of God. That sacrifice is how we enter in to the Holy of Holies. And we see the cross as a symbol of the Holy of Holies. But we enter into heaven through the veil, which was the flesh of Jesus Christ. That's how we enter in. And that's where we're to stay. As we sit right now in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God. That's where we sit right now. And how do we come to all that? Through faith. Faith in the truth. That what Jesus said is, in actual fact, a reality. That's what it is. It's not what we hope for. It's what it is right now. We have eternal life right now. We have him as the Lord of our life right now, hopefully. I say hopefully because it may or may not be a reality in your life. Because hope may or may not be something that actually happens. It may be an expectation. And that's what God's expectation was when he put Jesus on the cross, is that our hope would be only in one thing, the finished work of Jesus Christ. And in that, we're given faith. We're given grace. And only in that. Amen? Amen. So, he rose to new life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he sits at the hand of God, proving his sacrifice was acceptable to God. That proved his sacrifice was acceptable to God for all mankind. Once and for all is what it said in Hebrews. We are raised to new life in the Son as well, proving we have accepted his sacrifice as our own. Being raised to new life is the proof that we have accepted his sacrifice as our own. That's what faith is all about. Accepting it, claiming it as our own, and then living it. Putting that truth into action. That's what faith is. Putting his truth into action through knowing Jesus and knowing he is faithful and what he has done for us. And that's how we're to live our lives. So, by faith, we act upon the truth. And we claim God's grace given to us by Jesus as our Savior. We enter in to the Holy of Holies, heaven itself, through Him. In faith, as I said, we now sit in Christ. And we have atonement, the ransom that was paid for us. And what does atonement mean? At-one-ment. At-one-ment. Atonement can be broken up to mean at-one-ment with God. Finally, we are where we are have always belonged, in unity with God the Father, through God the Son, as led and conformed by the Holy Spirit. We have at-one-ment with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's where we need to stay. When we have that, then all of our hope are in the promises of Jesus, and they will be realized because His hope never disappoints. Because it's done in faith. It's done in truth. It's done in the promises of God based on what He will do, not on what I can do. So, this is our seal and guarantee that we belong to Him. He lives in me, I live in Him, and my life has changed. That's the seal and guarantee. If someone has said the words that Jesus is their Lord and their life has not changed, there's no guarantee. There's no seal. Because there can be no assurance of salvation. Because they have not experienced the faith that Christ has given them. They have not known the faith that is available to them. So for us, though, He is my Lord, or your Lord. He is my sole Lord, the Lord of all I am. He is also my only Lord, or soul, S-O-L-E. The great I am is my only God. That's something that we have to focus on every day of our life because, you know, we look back at the Jews and say, how could they believe in graven images? Well, how can we? Cars, houses, jobs, whatever you want to call it, is a graven image, and we believe in it a lot of times more than we do in God Himself, and that's when we get in trouble. That's when our faith is shaken. That's when our faith isn't faith at all. It's misplaced expectations. It's misplaced passion. Our passion should be for God. That's how we started this book of 1 John. Our passion should be only for God. And in Him, all things will be realized. Without Him, we can do nothing. With Him, we can do all things. And as the Lord of my soul, He conforms me into His image through being perfected in His love. As my only God, I trust and obey, just as the song says. When am I happy in Jesus? When I trust and obey. Why? Because that's when you're exercising faith. When you're trusting and obeying, they go hand in hand. If you trust and don't obey, it's not trust at all. It's rebellion. It's disobedience. It's not faith. It's anything but faith. It's you taking control of your life. So I will trust and obey Him as my only God because He is the author and finisher of my faith, as it says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and He sat down at the right hand of God, or the right hand throne of God. So, He is the author and finisher of our faith. And faith is putting the assurance we have of our salvation into action. And it's not an emotion. That's where we get in trouble. I hear so many people say, well, I don't feel God. Well, too bad. I don't feel God either. He's a spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit that's in me, I don't feel Him. But I know He's there. Faith isn't an emotion. It's a moment-by-moment decision. And that moment-by-moment decision is to trust and to know and to hang on to one thing, Jesus Christ as our life, nothing else. And faithfully choosing Christ changes us at the very core of our soul. He becomes the operative of our soul, not ourselves, not our intellect, not what we know, but what He is, God. That becomes the very core of our soul as we become more like the one in whom we trust. Guess what? That's when faith grows. When you have experienced Him as the core of your soul, when everything else has failed you, and He comes through. Comes through maybe not in what you wanted, but absolutely in time you'll see it's what you needed. Because that's how God is. That's what God does. That's what faith does. Faith gives us what we need, not what we want. And what do we need? Jesus. Should also be what we want, and the only thing that we want, but unfortunately we're still in this body. We're still in these earthen vessels. We still have the temptations of the world coming against us. And that's why our faith has to be tested, so that it can be trusted. So, our faith isn't dependent upon what happens to us today, or even what happens to us tomorrow. It is solely dependent upon what Christ did over 2,000 years ago on the cross. When He said, "It is finished," that is the faith we hang on to. He said it. It is true. We hang on to that. That's where our faith begins and ends. Not with what we're experiencing today or what we'll experience tomorrow, but what He did 2,000 years ago at the cross. Why? Because that's when He announced His victory over Satan, sin, death, and the world. And He announced victory to us, that we have victory over the same things. And it's done by our faith in Him as the Lord of our life and in nothing else. Not in circumstances, not in the world's ways of doing things, and certainly not in ourselves, but solely in Him. All that we are, for the joy set before us, so that in faith we will die to ourselves, pick up the cross, and walk with Him, because we have been crucified with Christ. It's not I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what faith gives us. Faith makes that more than a passage. It makes it a mictum. It should be chiseled on our heart, the tablet of our heart, because we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Chisel that on your heart and you won't go astray. You won't get off the path. You won't have worry, anguish, or anger, or concern about what's going on as you walk in faith. You'll have His comfort. You'll have His joy. You'll have His peace. That's what faith does. Anything less is what we experience when we're in the world. It's not of God. So, die to ourselves. Hang on to Him. Hang on to Him as Joab did. As I was doing the study in King David chapter 10, Joab found his army of mighty men being surrounded by the enemy. 2 Samuel 10:12 describes his faith and what he chose to do as he trusted in his king. And in the calling that he had been given by the king. What does he say? 2 Samuel 10:12, it says, "Be of good courage, and let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in His sight." May we be Christ's mighty men and women, as we are, as we walk in faith. May we have His courage and His strength, which are choices, faith choices that we make, when we decide to do His will. If we're not in His will, you're not going to have His courage. You're not going to have His strength. And your faith is going to be shaken. And it's going to take a toll on you until you come back and get into His will by being in the Word, being in prayer, and submitting your life back to Him. And that's all about trusting Him, not in our own ambitions and our own desires, but in what He desires for our life. That's what Joab said. May we then pray that the Lord do what is good in His sight. You know, and I think sometimes we do that. We give it lip service. We say, oh, but Lord, whatever Your will is. But we don't really mean it. We pray in supplication for 10 minutes about all the things we want. Oh, yeah, we say two things in passing. But whatever Your will is, and in Jesus' name. That's what's going to close it, and that's going to make sure I get it. Well, I'm going to be sure I get it because I said it's in Jesus' name, and I know the Lord's will because He gave it to me. Wrong. Our will overcomes His will by free will all the time. And we need to be careful of that. We need to be cognizant of that. We need to not rush into things, but wait on the Lord and wait for the Lord. And we'll see oftentimes that the reason we're in such dire situations is because we didn't exercise faith at the very beginning of an event. There may have been a little warning, just like we're going to see in David chapter 11. David went out in chapter 10 and led his army to fight the Syrians as they came against his entire force. As the king of Syria came back and got reinforcements, David went out and led the army. Well, what does David do in chapter 11? He allows Joab to go out by himself. Let Joab lead the army, and he stays at home with idle time on his hands. And what does that do? It got him in trouble. Instead of being where he was supposed to be, leading the army as God had led him to do when he was against the Syrians, he stays home and gets in trouble. And he gets in trouble, and it's because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He wasn't doing what he was led to be doing or intended to be doing. So that's what gets us in trouble as well. So that leads us to verse 12. The promise of God is the essence of our faith. What's the promise of God? In verse 12, He who has the Son has life. We have the Son when we confess Him as Lord by the word of faith. It's not mere words, it's the word of faith. Just as it says in Romans 10:8 through 11. Confessing Jesus as Lord is professing the word of faith. And it says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness or justification, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's not merely saying the words, it's professing a faith, a word of faith, faith in the gospel message because the Holy Spirit has shown you that it is the truth and you accept the gift of faith so that you can have the gift of grace given to us by God in that gospel message, the gospel message of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. But there's a lot of confusion about what faith is and what it is not. What faith is: trusting in God's promise of salvation. And the clearest explanation of this I found in the NIV, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So that's what faith is. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. As we are sure and certain in Him. That's how it begins. We're certain in Him, not what we see around us, but in what the Holy Spirit has told us and shown us is the truth. In Him who provides all of the right things. We're certain and sure of salvation's promises, the promises that are given to us in the Word. So faith and the promises of God go hand in hand. You can't have faith without promise. You can't believe something's going to happen. You can't truly trust that it is the truth unless you have the promise to begin with that it was going to happen. And here we have that. And that's when we have peace. When we have the promise of God and we accept it in faith, then we have peace. Because that's what faith does. It gives us peace. It is the exercise of our faith, confessing Jesus as Lord. And what do we get? We get peace with God. Just as it says in Romans 5:1 through 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, we're justified by faith, then we have the peace with God. We're made as if we had never sinned. We're made righteous. The moment we say those words of faith, done in faith, we're justified. And we have peace with God. We're no longer running from Him. We're no longer rebelling. We're no longer fighting against Him. We're where we belong. And we will then have the peace of God as we continue to exercise our faith and we trust in Him. And how do we do that? Through prayer and supplication. So how do we have the peace of God? Through prayer and supplication that's done in faith, that's done in the Spirit. As it says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. What's that? So what are we anxious for? All right, that's kind of like all. What's all? All. All right, so this is like the opposite of all. This is nothing. All right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's why this is a Thanksgiving message. With thanksgiving, not once a year, but every day, every moment of our life. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's what faith does. Gives us peace with God and the peace of God. So a good way to see how strong your faith is to ask yourself, how much peace do you have? If you're not having peace, then you need to be in the Word. You need to be in prayer and supplication and be anxious about nothing, but having yourself placed in the center of God's will by following His leading. Regardless of how you may have gotten into a situation, He's the only one that can get you out, and trusting in Him to do that. And it may just be the daily situation of life. You know, that's when we usually get in trouble, when it becomes mundane, when we don't have our eyes focused. You know, my faith is never stronger than when I'm in trouble. I got to get back to Jesus. You know, oh, yes, Lord, you're right. And then I start searching my soul. Lord, search me out. You know, what have I done wrong? What do I need to do? And He'll make it clear to me. And I lift those things up to Him. And guess what? My faith is restored. And I'm restored in Him. And the situation is handled. He takes care of it. And it's never like I expect it to be handled. It's always in a different way. And it's always in a way in which my faith grows. And that I learn more about Jesus. And I know more about myself. And how deceitful I am. Even when I think I'm being faithful. How deceitful that heart can be. Oh, I'm doing it for the Lord. That may be a hope. But is it truly done in faith? Only God can tell you. Only God can do that. And He does it through prayer, fasting, leading His Word, and making you sure and certain that He is in control. He is in charge. So, faith and the promises of God go hand in hand. And that's when we have peace, just as we looked at. Because what did God promise us? Salvation in Jesus Christ. And in this, we are sure and certain. He didn't promise us anything else. He didn't promise the things that we may want. So then, we have to look at, well, what's the difference between faith and hope? We can have faith in the wrong thing, and we can have hope in the wrong thing. And if we're hoping in the wrong thing, our faith will be shaken. And if we don't have faith in the right thing, you have no hope at all. So what's the difference between faith and hope? Because both are perfect for their intended purposes. Our problem is we get them confused. As I said before, faith is knowing the truth, Jesus, and trusting in the finished work of Him on the cross. Trusting in Him. He is faithful. That's what faith is. Salvation became a reality the moment we accepted faith as a gift from God. It became a reality. It's not something we hope for. You know what? We might have hoped before we had faith to come to know God. In fact, we might have even been trying to do it in our own way. Well, I'll go out and I'll do these works. I'll go out and I'll help these old ladies across the street because I'm a good person. And then I'll have heaven. Well, that's hope. It's misplaced hope. It's a expectation that can't be realized. But faith becomes a reality. Then you have the hope that comes through Jesus Christ. Why? Because God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son so that we would have this relationship. So then, faith is knowing the truth, Jesus, and trusting in His finished work. And that's salvation becoming a reality, and we will live in that reality in faith. Hope is the expectation that something will occur, because it hasn't happened yet. All hope based on Jesus, however, and the promises of God will not disappoint. But that's the key, basing all of our hope in Him, in His Word, in His will, not on our fleshly or earthly ambitions and desires. You can hope all you want, but we can only be what God has called us to be. And I never thought I would be a pastor. See how faith works? You take one step of faith and you never know where it's leading. But you know who's leading it. You know who you love and you know who you trust in. I never hoped to be a pastor. But it came through faith and through the leading of God and through what He was telling me in my heart, through the Word, through confirmation of other people, and by taking the opportunities that He has given me. Not the ones that I may have wanted, but the ones He has given me. And acting on those opportunities in faith and moving forward. And when doors were shut, I moved on, regrouped, and asked, Lord, where do you want me now? And slowly but surely, He made the calling. As I already had the election sure, He made the calling sure. And now I hope that this continues. And I have faith that it will. So you can hope all you want, but we can only be what God has called us to be. And we often get disappointed when our hope isn't His will. And as I said before, this really shakes our faith. Therefore, we don't just hope in Jesus as our Lord. We trust in Him and know Him as our Lord. I say all that to say this. The difference between faith and hope is just hoping Jesus will be your Lord. Don't make Him your Lord. You could have hoped that you had God before when you were operating in the flesh and doing works. But when you have faith, Jesus became your Lord because you know Him as the Lord of your life and you exercise faith in that walk we call life because we're walking at one with Him, in unity with Him. And when we do that, that builds us up in faith. And then our hopes change. Our hopes change. Those things that we expect change because God puts those things in our hearts that He desires for us to have. And we can expect them because it will not disappoint us. Because our hope is in heaven, which is in Jesus Christ. And you know what? We're already sitting there as we sit in the sun. Amen? So we rest in that. That's what gives us peace. Peace, knowing Jesus. Trusting Him as our Lord, the sole Lord of our life, all that we are and all that we'll ever be. And in faith, we trust and obey, just as the song says. And then, that's when we realize the promises of salvation. Not the clutter of the world, but the promises of salvation. Our faith then, as it says in the New King James Version in Hebrews 11:1, faith then becomes the substance of things hoped for. It becomes the reality because we know the sure things of Christ will come to us. That's faith. We know in faith that we can trust in Him to complete the work that He has begun in us. It's not a hope. It's faith because it is sure and certain. He's given us His promise to complete the work He has started in us. And we may have to take some extra spiritual laps because of our lapse of faith. Lapse as being lack of faith. But you know, eventually we'll get there. But we make it hard on ourselves. If we would just yield in faith and get out of the way, it could come a lot easier. You know how I know? Because He says His yoke is easy and His burden is light. When it becomes too hard for us, then who's really doing it? Because Jesus will do it for us. If we're in Him, He will do it. He says, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. It should not be an overwhelming burden. We should have peace about what we're doing because in faith we know that's where we're meant to be. Even if our life is threatened. Even if we see the enemy has surrounded us, we will have courage and we will have strength and we will have faith And this is exactly where God wanted us to be. And in that, that's the safest place to be. Amen? Any other place, you're in danger. Danger of losing faith, walking away, and losing your productivity in the Lord. So, all this serves a purpose. It tests the substance. It tests faith. Our life tests faith to make sure it's the substance of our life. And what's the substance of our life? The sole basis of our faith, Jesus Christ. That's why faith is tested. Who are you trusting in? Goes on to say in verse 12, he who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life or life eternal. As Jesus will not take possession of something he doesn't already own or something that's not freely given. If people will not accept the gift of grace given through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then Jesus will not overcome their free will. They will not have eternal life because eternal life is found only in the Son. As there is no other name under heaven among men by which we must be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus. Jesus meaning Jehovah is salvation. If people don't believe that, if they don't accept that as a word of faith in faith, then they don't have eternal life. They can hope again for heaven, but it's misplaced hope. It's a presumption, something that can't ever be realized. Because God said, he promises it can't be realized. Because only through Jesus do we have eternal life. So without faith in what Jesus has already done, it's not belief at all. It's no faith at all. If they never really believed his witness to begin with, then this will be evident in their lives. We'll see people, I see people every day who claim to be Christians, but yet their life reflects anything but Christ-likeness. Now, I don't mean people that have just come to the Lord and have stumbled and that kind of thing, but I've known people for 15 years who have not changed, who said they were saved, but in 15 years they have not changed from the way they were. And you ask them about their walks, says, well, you know, it all takes time. Well, how much time does it take? You know, we're dealing with eternity here, and that's outside the time-space continuum, but you know what? A changed life is the evidence that you have the seal and the guarantee and the assurance of salvation. If your life isn't being changed, then you need to have your faith shaken because it's not faith at all. It's not belief at all. It's not saving faith. It's a lie. And the deceiver loves to have people in that situation. Oh, you know, you just say those words and then you can live however you want. That's what John has been wailing against throughout this whole book. Don't believe those false teachers. Don't believe that you can sin and continue to sin, habitual sin, and live the life the way you want to. He gives us 7 litmus tests to say, hey, you belong to God. You'll do this, you won't do that. So that we'll know that we belong, that we have the assurance of salvation. If we don't have those, if we don't have the promises of God in our life, if we're not experiencing them, then get on your knees, pray, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is faithful and true, and he'll be there. Pressing on, verse 13, that you may know you have eternal life and will continue to believe. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Verse 13, this is the key verse of the entire book of 1 John. He wrote all of this so that we would have the assurance of salvation and that we may continue to believe. Continue to believe means continue to grow. Grow in faith. Grow in love. Grow in hope. That train, that soul train of salvation, that we may grow in that. And in that serve the Lord's purposes and the plan, that love letter that he's already written. Remember, we looked at, what was it, last week or a couple weeks ago about how Jesus has already written in his books what we are going to do. All we have to do is do it because it's up to us. We have the responsibility to do it, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but then we have to have faith put into action. What does James say? Faith without deeds is death. That's what I mean, a changed life. is the fruits of salvation. So this is the key verse. And who's he writing to? Those who already have faith that Jehovah is salvation. He's writing to those who believe in the name of Jesus, that they may know that they have eternal life, the life that is found only in the Son of God. Know here is the Greek word eido. It means intuitively by the Spirit, that you may know because God has given you this knowledge through the Spirit. It's not something of the flesh. It's not something of the world. It has to come by the Spirit, and you can only know this because you have salvation. It's utter foolishness to people who don't belong to Christ. It's just utter nonsense, as we see it talked about every day on the History Channel when they have the true story of Jesus. We got all these professors who aren't saved telling me about my Jesus. It makes no sense to me. And they call me the fool. What does God say? God says he who does not believe in God is a fool. That's what God says. So we believe this. We know intuitively by the Spirit. And this is the same Spirit by which we were convicted and saved. And now is God's witness in us. That's how we know it. Through God's witness in us. Through the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say in verse 13, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That is what Paul was reminding the Christians in Hebrews as their faith was being shaken. You know, we look at the Hebrews and we think, oh, what a wonderful book. And it is talking to the Jews. But it's talking to the Jews who were losing faith because they were persecuted so severely. Many of them had already turned from their faith. And what was he doing? Reassuring them that they have salvation. Trust in the one who has delivered it. Trust in Jesus. Have faith in him. Have faith like your predecessors did, like the patriarchs did. Look, they were only had faith in the coming Messiah. You have faith in the work that was already completed and is finished on the cross. Don't be shaken. Don't be afraid. This life is nothing. It's eternal life that's important. And it comes in Jesus Christ. Comes through him and only him. John is saying basically the same thing, because the new Christians that he was writing to, or the Christians he was writing to, their faith was being shaken because of false teachers. False teachers were teaching a plastic Jesus, an unreal Jesus. Again, one of those things where you can live however you want because, you know, the flesh is just sinful. The Spirit is what's going to save you. So their faith was being shaken. They were turning back to the world. They were turning away from their faith. So, just as the Old Testament saints, what was the result of their faith? Hebrews 11:2, for by it, by their faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. That's what faith does for us. It gives us a good testimony. And what is our testimony? Jesus Christ in our life. Or Jesus Christ is our life. So, by faith, we give a good testimony, the witness of Jesus being our sole Lord, being our life. So then we have the three parts, the way, the truth, and the life. What faith isn't? I like this part. I was doing some soul searching on this, and I was wrestling with this for about 12 hours yesterday. Faith isn't a power we tap into in order for our will to be done instead of God's. We do not teach name it and claim it, get anything you want by having enough faith. That's not what the Word says. That's not what the Word says. That's a lie. And those who share it are liars. Faith is important. Faith is what constitutes the basis for all that we believe and all that we do. It's the motive, the prime mover of what we do. But it is not, as I said before, a genie in a bottle with which we rub God so that he'll pop out and give us all the desires, our earthly wants, and the treasures of this world. Faith is not a lasso we slip around God's neck in order for him to do our will. You know, like John Wayne, you know, wrestling one of them doggies? No, he isn't going to be that. He's our God, not our steer that we wrestle to the ground and make him do what we want to. Faith is not a button to push, to prod God into actions we think are right. You know, I get in trouble with this all the time. I'll come up with something. I'll say, okay, Lord, I'm going to raise this up in prayer. Now bless it. And I move forward in it without ever hearing from God, without ever being confirmed, without searching the Word. And you know what? That's when I get in trouble. Oh, it's got to be right. Look, the door's open. Oh, well, look, you know, look how this all happened. Nothing happens by chance or happenstance. But what spirit did it come by? The spirit of God or the spirit of the Antichrist? Because Satan wants to deceive us. He wants to stumble us. He wants us to be as unproductive as we possibly can. So there'll be many that come, sheep and wolves, wolves in sheep's clothing. Sheep in wolves' clothing, that would be that would be ugly. But there's many that come. Well, we could scare them, right? We'll be sheep in wolves' clothing. No, we have the good shepherd. We don't have to worry about that. We're not attack sheep. Yeah, we're not attack sheep. We don't want to be, right? So, where was I? So we don't push those buttons and have God do what we want. He needs to do what he's going to do because it's best for us. Unfortunately, many people get disappointed when they don't get what they ask for. That isn't faith at all. As I've stated, that's presumption on their part. It's presumption because they know what's best for them. And they're not going to accept anything less. Well, you know what? In God's case, less of us is more of him. So we should always want less. Less of us and more of him. Amen? That's where it begins and ends. That's the author and finisher of our faith. Less of us, more of him. Don't be presumptuous. And I'm preaching to myself. It happens every day. We're tempted with these things. So we have to ask ourselves, do we want God as Lord or as a supernatural vending machine? Put in a little faith. Have God give us whatever we think are the right things. Put a little faith here. Get this out of the vending machine and we move forward happy, praising God how faithful he is. That's not how it works. You know, our problem is we let our carnal mind influence what we think are the right things. Comfort, prosperity, health, safety, and welfare. Unfortunately, our faith often is based on these things. We have a lot of faith when things are going well. I have a lot of faith when we get a new car, a new house, or a new job, or whatever. But you know what? We tend to lose our faith when we lose those things. When those things get interrupted or impacted or whatever may come our way. It's like, well, where did you go, God? God hasn't went anywhere. He loves you. And he's going to do what's best for you. Because when can Jesus truly be the Lord of our soul? When he's really all we have. Right? As I talked about on Wednesday night. That's what he tries to get us to in some positions. Because we will let things become our God. And he will take those things away when it begins to hinder us. And it can be our family. It can be our house, our job, our things. It could be even our ministries. Ministries can become an idol because we're doing it in ourselves, for ourselves, not in him and for his desire or pleasure. So he can take those things away and will take them away. And what should we do? Rejoice that he is in control. But we can't rejoice without faith because faith gives us the peace that allows joy. And it all comes with the love of Christ, which is the first fruit of the Spirit, and resting in him, and having his will be done, truly. Not words, but actions we live out in our life every day. Does it mean my heart won't be broken? Sure, I mean, like a spoiled kid, my heart gets broken when I don't get what I want. You know? Sometimes I get what I want, and then I got to pay the bill, and then my heart's broken. That's what happens a lot. It breaks my heart to have to pay that Visa card. You know? But praise him when we don't get what we want. And you know, people tend to judge God's interest and involvement in their lives on how well things are going. He doesn't love you any less when things are going bad. He loves you the same. And you know, some of it may be discipline. Some of it may be, as I said, carving off those things you don't need so that you can have more of him. So, let's praise him when things are going bad as well as when they're going good. So, essentially, faith is being sure and confident in him who is faithful, trusting and obeying him regardless of the circumstances because he is faithful. You know, doubt will happen. Doubt is to faith as sin is to the saved believer. It's not like once you become saved, you're not ever going to sin again. Well, it's just like once you have faith, don't think you're not going to doubt, because you are. It's the consequences of living in these fragile earthen vessels in a fallen, dark, and dying world with everybody else's flesh pressing against us on the outside, our flesh pressing against us on the inside, so to speak, and seeing the world headed in the opposite direction of us, and us tending to want to belong, because that's human nature. People are social animals, so to speak, human beings being animals in that sense. We're social. Let me take that back. Delete that. We're social creatures. We're social beings, and our desire is to want to be included. That's why God gives us the body of Christ, so that we can be included and inclusive with like-minded people, people with the same heart, with the same faith, with the same desires, with the same engine driving their train. Hallelujah. That's what the church is, a place where those trains all come together. You know, we can exchange cars and exchange encouragement and exchange love and exchange the hope that we have. And that keeps us going to the next point in our journey. What an awesome God we have. So we will have doubt, as we are bound to become contaminated by the world and our own weakness. Remember, the Spirit is willing, just like those cushions. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Anybody need to stand for a minute? It's okay. But there is no excuse to stay in this condition, in doubt or in sin, as we are to remain pure, to continue to trust in Jesus and to abide in Him. Doubt is the evidence that the old man still lives. Reckon it dead through the sword of the Spirit. Reckon it dead if you're dwelling on it, because it becomes a sin. Lift it up to the Lord, having taken it away from you. Pray for more faith. What's the first thing we should pray for? Faith. Father, I'm so faithless. Build me up in faith. But be careful. It's like patience. In order to get more patience, He'll put you in situations that require it. So be ready for it. Pray for more faith, and He's going to give you situations that require more faith. Because that's how we're stretched. That's how we're grown. That's how we're matured in Him. That's how that new wine becomes that wonderful wine, the wine of new life that He desires. Praise God. So doubt is a temptation, and it's not a sin to be tempted, but it is a sin to dwell on it. Instead, bolster your faith with God's promises. What's God's promises? Romans 5:3. If you are being tested, write down Romans 5:3, memorize it, and hang on to it. It's just about as good as Romans 8:28. All things work to the good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purposes. This one's right there with it. And it says, Romans 5:3-5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Tribulation has a purpose. Tribulation has us grow in perseverance. Tribulations has us grow in character. Whose character? Christ. Because who are we depending on? Our soul Lord. And then it has us grow in hope, knowing that He's all that He ever said He was, and knowing that we're going to be with Him. And that I hope I'm taken in the rapture tomorrow and this will all go away. That would be a good one. I hope for that. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I hope for that. I know I have faith it will happen one day, but it may not happen before whatever trial and tribulation I'm going through. So hang on to that. Romans 5:3-5. What people fail to realize then is it takes effort on our part, as faith is the work of God. Believing in the one whom He has sent is real work. And what's that real work? Being yielded to the sole Lord of our life in all situations, in all circumstances, in all things. That's real work. It's work killing that old man moment by moment. All right, and I won't say old women because people get offended at that. But the old man, right? Killing that old man. You know? Killing that old person, that old nature, slaying it. It's a lot of hard work. And we do it with the sword of the Spirit and lifting up whatever's not of Him, not of the Lord, lifting it up to Him so that He will take it away. Amen? All right. And you know, this type of faith is what perfects us in His love. Anything less hinders His conforming work in our lives and keeps us from living the life that He desires us to have. You guys want me to stop? I can continue. Faith has to be tested and proven next week, if you'd prefer. Okay, why don't we stop here? Then I'll get to the dark night of, dark night of the soul next week. Let's go ahead and, in faith, close in prayer that this is all the Lord wanted for us today, and that next week, as we start to look at the prayers that we are to lift up to the Lord, we'll look at just how those prayers are used, and it gets us through those dark nights of the soul. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank You. We praise You for all that You are, and we thank You. This season of Thanksgiving, you know, it should be, every day should be a season of Thanksgiving. Just always be thankful of the promise that You have given us, the promise of salvation, and the promise of salvation includes all Your promises. And Father, may we know what You've promised so that we can claim it for ourselves. May we know that all our trials and tribulations are really improving us in character, improving us in perseverance, improving the hope that we have. May we always know by experience that You are all we need and not have to get to the point where You're all we have. But Father, in reality, You are all we really have. The rest is just all clutter. So Father, may we always remember that. May we have less of us and more of You in all that we do, as You being the sole Lord and the sole basis of our faith. And that's the assurance that we have in salvation. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.